Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 31st of January, 2022. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the Canadian truckers besieging Trudeau, the Badman's Telford documentary, because we have to call him the bad man, and also the cathedral is rising up against Joe Rogan and trying to finally oust him. Hmm. Although I think he's handling it pretty well, but we'll go through that. So some things to mention first on the website. So the first thing here being new video. So this is your interview with James O'Keefe.
Yep.
I'm sick of, whining?
Yep.
I can imagine he is.
Yep.
I've seen some videos from him where it used to have like CNN being like the dangerous man doing this and that. And he's just like, oh, God.
Well, he's actually speaking from the Republican position. You know, Republicans whining. You know, get up and do something.
Mm.
And it's a good point.
Mm. It is a good point. Let's go to the next one. So we can see this is the epochs that went up over the weekend. So the origins of World War One with special guest Apostolic Majesty. So this is Bo and Apostolic Majesty going through that. And then if we go to the next one, we have the Contemplation series. So this is up over the weekend as well. The Culture and Politics of Scotland. Still doing the country series. So they did Russia and now doing Scotland. Right. Which, I know Josh has an affinity for being... I don't know, what is he, partly from there? Or
half Scottish or something like raised that. In Devon.
Yeah, you'll find out, I'm sure, if you go and have a watch. So go do that. And then the last couple of things to mention, firstly, of course, being the software engineer / web developer we are hiring. So if you can fit the job description and requirements for this, then please do apply and we'll look through the applications.
Yep.
And the last thing to mention being Getter. So this is, if you want to follow us on Getter, of course, lotuseaters_com being the at there.
Nearly at 55,000 followers. That's good. And that's more than we got on Facebook, actually, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it is.
I end up getting more engagement on Getter now than I do on Twitter.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it?
I think it's only videos where I get more engagement on Twitter still.
I get hardly any proper engagement on Facebook. Like I get a few thousand likes and stuff, but the page never grows. It's just really weird. It's like, okay, fine.
I can run it again for you.
Yeah, I guess you must. Yeah.
But, to be honest, mostly I just found it was just memes. Just people love memes.
Yeah, they're good though, aren't they?
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into the stories.
Yeah, so you may be aware, although not from the media, although saying that they're just starting to be forced to report on this, but we'll get into that in a minute, on how the Canadian truckers have decided to get together and essentially make their demands felt by blockading Ottawa and honking all day and night until Trudeau and his... government decide to rescind the mandatory vaccinations and mandates that they whenever they cross a border or something like that, they have to show vaccine passes. And this is, of course, tyrannical. And so the truckers are doing something about it.
I don't know what the status is at this point either, but I remember being told by our Canadian viewers that you couldn't go on a train, you couldn't go on a plane. Or inside the country.
Yeah.
You couldn't go to restaurants without the papers.
Apparently they're planning intrastate papers, as in you go from one Canadian state to another.
You know, North Korea actually does have that.
Oh, I bet they do.
Yeah, before the pandemic, if you wanted to travel between towns, you had to get a permit.
Oh, what a shock. Yeah. I bet Germany has that too. Anyway, Elon Musk tweeted out Canadian truckers rule. This is significant because Elon Musk has got like 78 million followers.
Billions and billions of dollar reduces.
Yeah, and he's the richest man in the world. So, and he looks fun and based, to be honest. And so obviously this is good news for them. And so there's one side, which is the more lighthearted, fun, freedom-loving side that's like, yeah, go get your freedom back. And then there's the other side, which is Trudeau's opinion. Do you want to know what Trudeau thinks of the truckers? Apparently, they are a small fringe minority of people who are on their way to Ottawa, who are holding unacceptable views that they are expressing, and they do not represent the views of Canadians who have been there for each other, who know that following the science and stepping up to protect each other is the best way to continue to ensure our freedoms, our rights, our values as a country. What freedoms? That's what Trudeau has been taking away from them. That's what they're protesting against.
I do love in this country we've finally moved away from all this crap, it seems.
Finally, yeah.
And now this looks like bizarro world news.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird to read in English. It sounds like fan fiction for tyrants.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessary, but like you have to do exactly as the government says to be free. You have to have vaccine mandates, passports, all this sort of stuff to be free. I don't think so. But what I love about this is unacceptable views, says the dear leader. You think wrong. Sorry. You're not allowed to think that. That's unacceptable. And so the truckers on Friday were driving to Ottawa and they began arriving. And it was really, really wholesome. If you can just see this video, it's like people, again, look at the temperature in Canada. Like everyone there wrapped up in the snow, but still out on these bridges and stuff to hold out placards and wave to them and stuff like that. it's really, really wholesome watching all of this. You can see loads of people on the bridges with Canadian flags.
Yeah,
no, it's great. And then we go to the next one, you see that there are loads of these videos at different places where just people have come out to support them.
That fringe minority, huh?
Yeah, totally fringe minority.
You know how fringe minorities can get huge groups of people in random parts of the country to all agree?
You can see these are different locations as well, because some of them have snow, some of them don't. You know, this is, you know, just all across this country, it seems. And so the numbers of truckers, I have got no clear estimate on. The number I keep hearing around is 50,000 truckers, which is a lot, since each one has a truck. So, you know, that's a lot of people. But
when you take into account all the other people you see here, of course.
Well, exactly, yeah.
God knows.
So if this is a fringe minority, I mean, they don't feel very fringe at this point. And so how's it looking from the arrival of the fringe minority at the Capitol? Well, our roving reporter Elon Musk has an update. Just, if you can scroll down the OCC, it's just complete, you know, for miles, backlog of trucks. Like, okay, the capital of Canada is going to grind to a halt now, right? They have made it happen. Nothing's going to get delivered. No one's going to move. You're not going to be happy about this. If we go to the next one. This is the American border. People lining up to go to Canada.
Wait, Americans going over to Canada?
Yeah.
To go and support?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't it?
Convoy to Ottawa.
But it's also the backlog. But anyway, so what's the main contention? From the truckers. If we go to the next one, well, F. Trudeau is pretty much it. And if we go to the next one, make Canada great again. Take back our freedom. I agree. Fully endorse. And so, yes, it's been lots and lots of people. If we go to the next one, you can see that basically people, I mean, sorry, scroll up a little bit just so we can see the text here. So this chap's claiming 100,000 truckers, 1.5 million people in Ottawa at Parliament. I don't think that that's true. I think that's overstating it. But the demands that people are making, of course, Trudeau resigns and drops all mandates. No negotiations. I've been told this by many Canadians. He knows. And this is all I've seen coming out of the people and media that I've seen presented from this as well. Trudeau goes or drops all the mandates. Frankly, I think it should be both. Trudeau goes and drops all mandates, but what do I know?
I mean, that's why you hate Trudeau, presumably.
Yeah, well, no, there are lots of reasons to hate Trudeau.
Sure, but that's the main one of why you're doing this.
That is, yeah. But you can see just from the video, just like, this is huge, man. Like, this is the...
It's going to make me wonder how the hell he apparently won that election.
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I. But anyway, we're not allowed to question elections, I've been told. And so anyway, what should the government do about this? Outlaw supporting the truckers? That's a start.
Well, they're all terrorists now. Joe Biden style.
Apparently.
Anyone who disagrees with us.
In Nova Scotia, the local government decided to cite its emergency powers that they've been given under COVID.
They were never going to be abused.
And have declared it illegal to finance, organise, aid or participate in the truck convoy. Line the roadside in support of the truck convoy, and if you do this, you can face up to $10,000 in fines, which I understand is about £7.
Well, they can't fine us all £7, presumably.
I think they could. But isn't that interesting?
Let them try.
That interesting?
Finance, organise, aid or participate. So even if you donate just a pound to the GoFundMe, that's you. That's £10,000 fine right there. I mean, this is what we do on
under the COVID state of emergency mandates.
I know, but that kind of restrictions where even just aid or participating or supporting, that's what we have for the prescription list in the UK for terrorist organisations.
Yes.
You cannot offer moral support, financial support to any of these groups.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same sort of treatment.
The truckers are terrorists, according to the local government of Nova Scotia. But it doesn't matter. I think it's too late. Too little, too late. Thank God. Because it turns out the truckers have apparently got enough funds for years. They've already been voted.
They can stay on Parliament Hill for 2 to 4 years. I mean, what did they have? Last time we checked, they have $5 million on GoFundMe alone. So.
So, I mean, like, I look forward to this going on for years. And, I mean, you can say, well, you're not allowed to join these convoys, but the farmers weren't listening because they decided to join as well. As you can see, the farmers have decided, this has to stop.
You know, this is kind of wholesome, though, because it's very much the countryside versus the cities.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, telling
oh,
you, yeah. becoming well, the dividing line between everyone in the West is always the cities versus the countries.
We will get into exactly that, because what this is Canada's very own secession of the plebs. Do you know what the secession of the plebs is?
I heard of that before.
It's in the Roman Republic in, I think it was like 495 BC. The plebs were not happy with how the aristocrats were governing Rome. And they were like, yeah, well, without us, there is no Rome. Bye. And just walked out and sat on a hill until the aristocrats gave in to their demands. That's what this is. And it works. Because they can't have a country without you. Because these people who are going and protesting, the truckers, the farmers, the people on the bridges, these are clearly the regular people of the country. Like the people out in the provinces, people in the villages, what we would describe as the shires, are just like, no, we've had enough of this and we're not going to carry on. And
we're
so
not cosmopolitan types who think everything is great that you do.
Yes, and we'll be getting to the effect that this is having on those cosmopolitan types in a minute. So what happened to Justin Trudeau? What was his response? He bravely ran away.
Oh, brave Trudeau.
he, of course, has a house in Ottawa, and he fled to a, quote, secret location. Now, we don't know where Trudeau has actually gone.
Oh, brave Sir Justin, wouldn't it?
Yes, yeah. So brave Sir Justin has run away. But rumours are that he's fled to the United States.
We were joking before. I'm really hoping he turns up in Florida. Just tomorrow, there's a picture of him out dining with a mask not on.
But isn't this hilarious how the plebs rise up and Justin Trudeau flees the country? Like, not just going to a different city.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
But also leaving the city at all.
Mm.
I mean, it's like a monarch who's been caught out and has been shown that they're not the real ruler of the place and has now left.
He's now the prime minister in exile.
Yeah. Or a puppet government leader who's been kicked out by a revolution almost.
Yeah. Well, it's
in Canada, you don't even have to kill anyone. You just say, oh, we're sorry about this, but you've got to go.
But he's on the phone to Klaus Schwab. I was like, Klaus, what am I doing? So the thing is, though, of course, this highlights Trudeau's monumental hypocrisy, because, of course, he's a hypocrite. You may remember when the Indian farmers were protesting in similar manner, actually, just essentially having their own little secession of the plebs and saying, no, we're not doing whatever it is they were doing. I wasn't following it, but that's what I understand was happening.
Country versus cities, always on the side of the country.
Yep, exactly. Absolutely. And they're the ones who make the food. Yeah. And honestly,
what do they want? I don't care. They make the food. I'm hungry.
I just kind of hate the city dwellers at this point. Yeah. Trudeau's like, oh, I support them. They're doing the right thing. And okay, you're a hypocrite. But right, let's go to Ottawa. How do you think things have been there?
Probably the same.
It looks like it's been great. Let's play the clip. All night.
Constant noise.
The entire city is gridlocked. It's the middle of the night. And these assholes just keep honking. I think that's enough. I think we get the idea. We get to the next one.
To be fair, I used to live next to neighbours who once held a party all night, like 6 in the morning, blasting music. I sound bearable.
It is the most intense trolling I have ever seen in my life.
There's right? no getting away from it. You can't go to a different room. Yeah. You can't put on your headphones. It doesn't work.
No, there's nothing you can do. Right? Just constantly, and there are loads of these videos of people in Ottawa going, oh my God. If we can go to the next one, you can see it's packed. We can go to the next one, John. Is that the one I was looking for? Yeah, but streets packed with truckers and supports. So yeah, and oh yeah. So if you watch this, you see it like from on the ground, like nobody's going anywhere. This is all locked down. This is all insufferably noisy.
This is Hong Kong country.
Yeah, exactly. people have been calling it Truckistan. but the thing
well, is, it is actually familiar with the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan. It was gridlock and very peaceful. Mm. So.
But one of the things that I'm amazed at all this because it's so cold in Canada at the moment. But anyway, the point though of all of this is that it is driving the progressive metropolitan city dwelling cat ladies absolutely bonkers. The second picture I think is my favourite Reddit post from someone. If you can get that one up, John. Our kitty fear pooped on our bed, among other places. Okay.
Oh, I love meme magic.
Me too. If we can get to the next one, there are the memes. Speaking of memes, oh my God, it's been amazing. So I posted this on Getter. People have been collecting the Ottawans who are like, I can't believe these Nazis are doing this to us. And it is just lovely to watch because they're absolutely losing their mind. This is a torture technique. Can you get to the next one?
Yes.
It's a protest. I swear to God, if the honking by the Chud Visigoths goes late into the night, I'm going to flip.
Big Les there.
If you go to the next one, you see this person is actually calling it terrorism. If you go to the next one. Yeah. This is terrorism. We need to stop calling this a protest. It's been non-stop honking for the last 6 hours, Callum.
But also I love it as he types this, there's just background.
Exactly. It's just non-stop.
He's like shouting, this is terror, just no one can hear him over the sound.
But that's why he's typing furiously. But that's the point, isn't it? That's the point. If you recall what AOC had to say about protesting, she says, if we can go to the next one, John, the whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that discomfort with the status quo and advocate for concrete policy changes. Popular support often starts small and grows. To folks who complain, protest demands make others uncomfortable. That's the point. Great point by AOC. You're meant to be uncomfortable. Honk.
You also know the difference here, the honking versus the burning down the apartments.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a tangible difference in the amount of damage that's been done.
The mothers, you have to put up signs saying, I'm a single mother, this is all I have, please show mercy. No one's having to do that in response to the honks.
No.
They're like, I have to sleep in, I have to go to work in the morning, please show mercy or something like that.
I think you'd probably be able to get a special dispensation at this point, though. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do anyway? We go to work, we can't do anything. There's trucks everywhere.
You try and take some calls, and just on your end and their end, there's just...
anyway, so of course there were also large crowds at the Parliament. As you can see, it just stretches off around the corner. And so that's good. You know, people out there supporting, even if they're not truckers, they're people protesting. But of course, there are agent provocateurs in the crowd. This guy with a Confederate flag. What? Why the hell would you have a Confederate flag?
Confederacy of Canada? I don't know. No.
Canada supports the South will rise again, says the North. You're nowhere near the Confederacy. What are you doing? Anyway, so apparently he was hiding his face, and when confronted about this, he just sort of like quickly shuffles off. It's like, yes. The anti-mandate people are wearing masks. Big suspicious. Anyway, not many mentions of this in the media, of course. You go to Eric Weinstein, just like was like on the New York Times. I'm like, why isn't this being covered? Is this not newsworthy? And that's the thing. It wasn't initially, because of course it was, you could feel the delay. They're like, nah, it's not going to bring up, okay, now everyone's talking about it, god damn it, now we're going to bring it up. And so they had to talk about it, and so the CBC was like, are these Russian agents?
What?
You get the next one. You can see, so literally
50,000 Russian truckers.
Maybe
they come over from Alaska, like.
This was literally what they were saying, are these Russian agents? It's like, no, they're not. And of course The Washington Post was like, well, look, this can't stand. You must confront the toxic freedom convoy, as they call themselves, head on. Well, what are you going to do?
What, shoot them?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Go on. Well, what's the plan?
What are you going to do? Tweet some more? No, okay, this is terrorism and your cat shat in your bed?
Let's say that you shoot them all.
Who's going to bring you your food?
How are you going to get the trucks out of the Capitol? 100,000 tons of trucks in the Capitol now. What now? Well, the drivers are all dead. Can you drive a truck? No. But freedom,
I mean,
is...
I know trucks are expensive, lads, but if you did leave your trucks in a big circle, just blockading everything in the Capitol and just left, what would they do?
Exactly what they're going to do. Yeah. Now we're not going to just... Can you not automate the honking? Anyway. So this is contagious as well, with the truckers in the Netherlands thinking, well, hang on a second, we don't have to do this, and so they're doing the same. Turns out this is something that a lot of people are going around on, and so Trudeau's response to this. What was Trudeau's response? So far, we've had none from the dear leader himself, but we have heard something from his government, from his. minions, shall we call them, right? So, as the Daily Wire reports, on the Sunday morning, after the day after the massive Freedom Convoy arrived in Ottawa to protest the vaccine mandates that would force unvaccinated Canadian truckers crossing into the United States to quarantine once they returned home, the CBC reported that the transport minister for Trudeau's government stated there was work being done to implement interprovincial vaccine mandates for truckers. Asked about claims that his vaccine mandates were causing supply chain disruptions, Trudeau stated, "I regret the Conservative Party and Conservative politicians are fear-mongering to Canadians about the supply chain." Oh, yeah. They're not fear-mongering to Canadians about COVID, though.
If you run that logic for a minute. Hang on. So the government came up with, if you're coming from the United States, we're going to make you quarantine.
Yeah.
And all the truckers were like, well, that means that the supply won't work, so we're going to protest
this. You're fear-mongering.
So in response, the transport minister was like, right, not only are we going to do that, we're going to do it interprovincial as well.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's even more going to affect the supply. And then Trudeau's like, well, that's a Conservative conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Also, I'm popping over to North Korea to get more policies from them.
More rhetoric.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it is. I'm sorry, but...
Right, but he says, you know, Conservative politicians are fear-mongering about the supply chain, but the reality is that vaccination is how we're going to get through this. It's like...
Everyone's already vaccinated.
But it's also, it's such a weird thing. It's like, just whatever the problem is, vaccine. Mm. It's like, are you being paid to say that? I assume you are being paid to
break
say
your
that.
Leg, vaccine will fix it. Yeah.
So apparently about a couple of weeks ago, the president of the Canadian Trucking Alliance said to Bloomberg News that Canada was already short of 23,000 drivers for what's needed to meet demands. And so you can imagine how the supply chain is going to look now with like 50,000 truckers just squatting in the capacity.
Remember, it is a supply chain problem due to COVID.
Yeah.
Not due to the government, due to COVID.
Hmm. But anyway, Mr. Trudeau's new cross-border mandate has raised concerns for other reasons. Like many countries, Canada is dealing with rising inflation and a supply chain already strained by pandemic, labour shortages and bad weather. Prices are on the rise, including for food and petrol. It's been getting harder to find some products on grocery store shelves, and Canada's economy is heavily dependent on the men and women who drive the vast majority of food and goods consumed in the country across the border, as the Canadian Trucking Alliance noted. Good. This is the leverage of the plebeians.
Yeah.
And they are using it very well. The only concern I have is that they will effectively end up losing sight of the goal. And like, you know, the thing will start dispersing and basically Trudeau will be able to wait them out. They will have to wait out Trudeau. You know, this is just like, even if it takes, you know, a week, a month, you know, the 2 or 4 years that they can afford to stay there, they've got to be in it to the end.
Because the thing is, the supply problems will get worse and worse, and people will start to accuse them of, oh, won't you please spare us?
Mm-hmm.
But no, all of this is the government's fault. If you hold on and hold on, the government will not risk the country collapsing.
Exactly.
They will eventually give in.
That's exactly right. Anyway, having fun.
Good lads.
Hmm.
Let's go to the bad man. So, the bad man decided to host his Telford documentary in Telford, outside the police station. You wonder who the bad man is? Well, we'll get this up. This is Romlin Tomlinson, or whatever other fake name we have to use, because some robot at one of these Silicon Valley platforms will delete this video if we use the right name, I'm told. So this is his Getter account, and of course he is the bad man, and you can go see the full version here, but we can't play that because he's the bad man, and we live in a free country. Let's go to the next one, so we can get the details, because me and John went down and had a look. We had been reporting on what had been happening, and well, we wanted to see what he had to deliver and his claims. And as you can see here, this is just some photos I took at the time, and this is, I spent a lot of the time with the counter demonstration, who we're going to enjoy looking at. And as you can see, they had the Communist Party with them, proudly. Always standing with them.
And the counter-demonstration included people with hammer and sickle flags.
And the words Communist Party on them. It's not even, oh, well, what does that mean? No, it's open communists, open extremists, standing with the counter-demonstration against extremism. Right. Okay.
Okay.
So hope not hate levels of understanding. But I thought I'd mention some stuff we saw first. So the for the too long didn't read, in case you don't have time to watch the documentary. So the survivors, as they call themselves, and like to be called, they said that they had named the rapist and named one police inspector who was corrupt. And this is three girls independently, don't know each other, all came to the same names. That's what Robinson said. And the police even had DNA evidence of one Muslim suspect because they had a fetus and took DNA evidence from that. And therefore, it's 100% this guy is a rapist and a nonce. And yet the police force decided to take no further action, as they put it. Even though they had the evidence.
Why?
Who knows?
Just
And these were the questions that were asked in the documentary. There was a series of suspects in, I believe, Nicole's case, and she had a load of Muslims and then one Sikh. The police.
I've seen the pictures of the grooming gang where it's like the one guy with the turban. Is that the guy?
I don't know if it's that guy specifically, but he does mention that the all of the Muslim suspects were overlooked and the one Sikh guy was charged instead.
So they didn't charge the Muslims, but they charged the Sikh.
Yes. Even though we have evidence, DNA evidence, of one of the Muslims, well, creating a fetus with an underage child.
This is insane.
Yes. So there was also the survivors who alleged a specific inspector took a cash bribe to cover up the local Muslim gangsters. And this being, they had charges of drugs, of noncery, all the rest of it. And so she alleged that, well, a specific inspector took that cash bribe. She was there to view it. And, well, he was going to be asked about it, wasn't he? So Tommy put trackers on all of their cars, the specific, specifically three Muslims who were alleged to be nonces, and the inspector who was alleged to have been taking cash bribes to cover it up. Mm-hmm. And so he put trackers on the cars so he could go and meet them and do his journalistic duty, which is to go down and give them a right of reply. And just ask them on camera, look, these three girls have alleged independently that you've done this. Mm-hmm. What's your response? And that's why I was quite proud of him, actually, for the way he produced that. It's
well, what did they say?
Clear cut. Three of them said nothing, the inspector and two of the Muslims. And one of them just said that it's all lies, none of it's true.
If it's all lies, how is it that a child got pregnant by one of your children?
I don't know if it was that specific chap. But,
sure, but one of them
definitely
obviously impregnated a child.
But there we are. That's where the documentary ends, let's say, in which it's like, okay, well, we have these accusations, we're given the right reply, he's done his job. And, okay, he's alleging police corruption. What's it got to do with race?
Good question. Well, I mean, if we speak to the police and ask them why they didn't charge the Muslims but did charge the Sikh.
Yeah, so I thought we'd go over the day and some of the build-up, of course, as well, because we mentioned previously, as you can see here, this was an article, Law Firm Worker Cornered and Filmed by Robinson. Well, that was one of the guys being asked about the allegations. If we go to the next one...
I love the good boy did nothing, cornered by Satan.
Yes. So this is Robinson's car being blown up outside Telford Hotel in petrol bomb attack. These attacks, if we go to the next one as well, attacks, because there's been multiple, is because, as Robinson believes, and seems to be the case, is that as he was conducting his investigation, producing the documentary, and allegations started becoming public that he said, I think you've done it, cars just started blowing up. And there was also one lady who
maybe there were some people visiting from Sweden.
Yeah, there was one lady who had her house with bricks thrown through the windows twice.
Really?
Who was a survivor. So that was a witness who had to then go into protection because they were being attacked at their home. God. Perfectly normal things. Absolutely. And if we go to the next link here, we can see an image. So this is mainly the documentary. It focuses on the claims of this survivor here, Nicole. So if she lists all. And I thought we'd go to Stand Up to Racism's side of the demonstration just to go through the day. So we can see the two sides and what they actually achieved. So if we go to the next link, you can see Stand Up to Racism and the fact that they're all standing around doing the thing. And let's play a clip of what they were up to.
Say it loud, say it clear!
Refugees are welcome here!
Nazi scum
off our streets!
Nazi scum
off our streets!
Tories out!
Refugees in!
Tories out!
Refugees in!
I take requests, you know. I literally take requests. Okay.
Let in all the refugees! Throw the Tories in the sea! Let in all the refugees!
Throw the Tories in the sea!
Let in every refugee!
Throw the Tories in the sea!
Kate's got rates! Break it out!
Tommy Robinson, go to hell!
Take your Nazi base as well!
What is it here? A black box coming up. Please go.
Justice for the victim! Justice for the victim!
So there we are. There's a small collection of what they were up to.
I mean, justice for the victim sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, this was the funny thing about the whole situation, that there were speeches, especially at the start, like that chap at the end there, who was saying that, well, yeah, we admit that we say that the girls didn't get justice, they're still not getting justice, and they need help. It's like, yes, what do you disagree on?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, refugees. Well, none of these people are refugees. Why are you bringing them up?
I'll have a whole other conversation about refugees and grooming at another point. But the question as well is that I can't read all that right now, but the fact that the guys agreed, but they all say that Robinson is a bad man and therefore bad, and therefore we can't agree with him on anything. And right, okay. And it's, what are you doing with your life then? What are you doing here? And it all seems to be just a tribal day in which they can all stand around and say, we're the good people. He's the bad guy.
We just hate Romy Tomlinson.
Yeah, you've not done anything, which is just... yeah, but also the fact that they, of course, accept the Communist Party as open and part of their protest there, and the fact that they have black blocs turning up. This is also just the point here that their own propaganda on the
Who makes these site, goddamn signs?
Yeah, they're all funded.
Exactly the same goddamn signs.
Yeah, they all get reused as well. But you can see the Communist flags again within their own propaganda. They're not hiding that. They're not ashamed of it. They're happy to be alongside such extremists. Mm. Perfectly fine. If we go to the next one, we can see this is some footage of them all screeching at each other, let's say, because it's the interaction between, so the Robinson supporters who are down that bank there and underneath, because that's where the car park is. And I thought it was the most interesting part, which is that as Robinson starts to thank Nicole, you can also hear chants of Nazi scum. It's just like, this is bad optics in the extreme for the leftists. Let's play.
What you're gonna see today is corruption and allegations of corruption against police officers. Telford Police identified 200 men in their police investigation. They prosecuted 11. What this is about is the start of naming and shaming them. Nicole is a mother of four children. Four children. I interviewed her and I saw her bravery, her courage, her determination. Even this week, sending me messages. When cars started getting blown up, family members were targeted. Nothing is going to stop me. That's what she said. She messaged me, nothing is going to stop me.
I am sorry, but just the optics there of like, here's a survivor of race-based child sexual exploitation.
The police are corrupt. There are these gangs of men raping children. You're a Nazi.
But on the basis of race as well.
Yeah.
The rapists are racist. And stand up to racism is shouting Nazi scum off our street in response to this.
Waving communist flags. So what the hell is wrong with you people?
Real bizarro world stuff. And I'm trying to be as neutral as possible because quite frankly, that is what I think most people complain about whenever the bad man is mentioned. So can we just get some neutral reporting on the situation?
Sure.
Which is why I'm showing the footage. And to explain some of this, I also thought we'd add up some footage John took at the front here. So this is of the Robinson side, just to show you the crowd. But you can also see that bank on the right there, because it goes up, and they're in a little bit of a bank down. Well, that's where the screen is, and where the documentary is being shown, and where, you know, people who support him would be. That's not where some people were. Some people turned up to this, and as I'm saying, some people is in, like, I think it's about five, called the Chelsea Headhunters. So if we can go to the next link, please, you can see that Stand Up to Racism decided to put this out on their account. As you can see, they say, proof if proof were ever needed of what hashtag badman is all about. One of his supporters gives a Nazi salute in Telford, hashtag never again, thanks to Unite Against Fascism for this. And it's a guy giving a wave, and this is why I'm what is wrong with you? I mean, even as just anti-fascist, what is wrong with you? Like, the Nazi symbol behind him is on the flag there. The skull and crossbones? That's the bit... The dude giving... The wave isn't important.
Right.
I was dunces.
This is amazing. So they have identified a Nazi.
Yes.
He's waving at someone and they're like, this is a Nazi salute. But no one looks at that and thinks that's a Nazi salute.
But they didn't notice the skull and crossbones, the symbol of the SS behind them. The anti-fascists don't know what fascist symbols are, apparently. It's just embarrassing. And if we go to the next image, people who don't know who the hell this group is, apparently they're...
I've never heard of them.
A football hooligan group, so a football hooligan being big in the UK in decades past and is still sort of hung around. The Chelsea headhunters being openly racist and neo-Nazis, let's say, using neo-Nazi symmetry and whatnot. So that is the case. And if we go to the next clip, just before we play it, which is the why I found out that they were there, because I was standing in between these two groups. And as you can see, Robinson's guys were all down in that dip watching the show.
Yeah.
And the leftist guys were all stood there. So then these fascists turned up, completely away from the documentary, unveil their flags in front of the leftists to make sure they're seen, and then just buggered off and didn't watch the movie. So I was like,
And I take it the leftists didn't, like, you know, stand up to fascism.
There's no evidence of that. They didn't get in a fight with them. But quite frankly, it seems these people were there just to have a fight. But it all happened, and I'll show the clip of...
Oh yeah, a bunch of them like, hey, we're communists, yeah, we hate fascists. Hey, we're fascists, we hate communists. Do you want to have a fight? And they're like, no.
It's cold. Let's go to the
clip. It's not Canada cold, but you know.
And show. So I started the camera as soon as they unfilmed it. They're here for all of 20 seconds.
And we know the flagship Telford investigation, Chalice, resulted in 11 convictions.
11? That's it. Yet our shoestring investigation has been given over 200 names of alleged perpetrators. We also know the independent inquiry has been given over 300 names. We can shortcut the conclusions of the inquiry. The performance of the police, social services, councillors, it was woeful at best, but more than likely, it was a deliberate attempt to cover up these crimes against
me. Well, we're better against any far over these pedo Muslim gangs.
Are you a specific organisation?
No, we want to fight these guys.
Okay. To corruption. Covering things up doesn't create money.
So yeah, there's the fascist for the day who turned up not to watch the documentary but to have a fight, as he put it.
There's actually like six of them.
Yeah, but I mean that's the extent of it. They turned up. They weren't involved with the Robertson supporters because they're not watching the bloody thing. They're not down there with them.
No.
And instead went there to stand up front of the leftists and go, haha, we're fascists. Let's have a fight. And then just buggered off and went down the pub, presumably. I don't know. It was a weird occurrence, but we should mention it because that's what happened. Is strange. I presume they wanted to fight that black bloc, as we were pointing out.
Right.
And the police said nothing happened. If you go to the next link here, you can see this was... So back, please, on the ghetto one. There's a strange thing that as soon as the documentary started, you could hear it being started there.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Stand Up To Racism left.
So, right, okay. They don't want to hear about that.
So when Nicole started laying out that she was a victim of race-based child sexual exploitation, Stand Up To Racism walked away. Let's play the clip.
I'm at my kids' daily and think if you wasn't here,
bye.
That's
why
the police have 40 years of evidence to deal with anyone. They've known what has been going on in that town for 40 years.
Sit down and have a coffee to racism, I guess, is their new name. What a weird thing to do. Why can you not just sit there and watch the thing? Oh,
yeah.
Because you might see something you don't like, I guess. I mean, that's the thing. You can interact with both sides as a normal person, and that's fine.
Callum, you've got to understand, the Soros money contracts them for exclusively 1 hour,
but it's,
and when that time's up...
I can appreciate that there are people with all kinds of views, but the idea you can't engage with an opposition's group's view is mad to me still.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that in real time here, let's start playing the documentary, a victim of racial-based child sexual exploitation, start speaking, and the Stand Up To Racism group walk away.
Nothing to do with us, Governor.
Yeah. But I thought, so that's the day that happened, and the documentary, and you can go and watch his full allegations and all that in your own time. But what's the net effect? Because people wonder sometimes, why do you bother going to these things, or why do people bother doing them? And I thought we'd have an analysis of that of just both sides for a minute, because this is what Tomlinson, the bad man, was able to get. As you can see here, grooming gang victims urged to come forward in wake of Robinson's Telford rally. They're saying here, no arrests were made and there was not any significant instance of disorder, police said.
Good.
So those fascists and the black bloc didn't go and fight. Superintendent Jamie Dunn of West Mercia Police said, I would like to thank our local communities across Telford, local businesses and retailers, and those visiting the town centre yesterday for the support and understanding. We recognise the context of the documentary may cause people to reflect on their own experiences, and they may, as a result, wish to speak to us about these. I would encourage anyone who has been sexually exploited to contact us, regardless of when the offences took place, and we will investigate them. We also recognise that some people may have been affected by child sexual exploitation, but not wish to pursue criminal proceedings. However, we would still encourage these people to contact us or another agency to seek support. So this is the effect that he was able to get, which is a call from the local police. So, okay, yeah, we will investigate. And anyone has anything, please come to us. If we there is one thing that Birmingham Live left out from the post. So if we go to the next one, you can see the full post here. They ended off with, if anyone has been left feeling unsafe or fearful following the documentary, then we would urge them to report or get in contact. It might interpret that previously as a threat of, oh, no, yes, the racists were here or something. But No, the documentary ends with the cars being firebombed and whatnot. So I wonder if they're actually referencing that. Because if you're a victim and you want to speak out, but you're afraid of getting your car firebombed, well, yeah, can understand that fear. And if we go to the last link here, you can see the fact that the Birmingham Live are also reporting on the fact that he intends to remain in the area, the bad man, to investigate allegations of abuse, because he wants to go and do two more on this town, because it's that bad. But the thing is, there you are. That's what he's achieved. That's what his supporters have turned up and achieved, which is a public statement from the police. We want to investigate this. Please come to us.
Yeah.
What did those leftists achieve? A tribal moment. They all stood around and went, yes, we are good people. They are the bad people. Yes, yes. Oh, we are oh so good. And then just left. I mean, they're not even there to watch the documentary. Mm. I can see John saying here, the victims didn't go into protection. The police refused to send men to protect them. Yeah, I should have clarified. It was Tommy and his men who offered protection to that person who had their house attacked twice with bricks as well. Jesus the police did not Christ. Want to. So that's the lay of the land with the police there and what happened. And hopefully people can take that and see the footage and make up their own minds.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to keep demanding. They've got to keep demanding that justice is done.
There was one really funny bit when I was with the leftist group. One guy started a speech and said, black and white unite, and they all clapped. And I was like, hang on, that's an EDL phrase. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's an old EDL chant. And it's like, okay, right, it's now come into their lexicon. Interesting. Yeah. But that's the situation. I hope that was informative.
Well, I wasn't there. You were there, so it was good to know. Because it's not like you're going to get fair coverage of the man, the bad man, anywhere else.
That's why I wanted to do it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it really does look like you've got these just the highly politicized, paid-off communist protesters. And the undeniable reality of the crimes that have happened to these women when they were children is something totally separate. Mm. Like, the Stand Up to Racism people, like, chanting about refugees and Tories, it's like, no one's mentioning any of this.
This isn't Dover.
Yeah, exactly. This has nothing to do with that. You know, these are now historical crimes from legal immigrants. So
there was a local reporter I ran into and had a decent conversation with, and he was just upset because he was like, look, I live here, I report here every day, and a lot of these people, from either side, aren't from here. They're from elsewhere. And I didn't get to ask too many of the Tommy guys because there's just too many of them.
Yeah.
But we asked around on the left side, London, Bristol, Brighton. Mm. It was just like, okay, so you're
paid
all,
activists.
You're all foreign.
Yeah.
And when we were walking around, because you've got all those guys who are clearly Tommy supporters, but then you've got the wallflowers, I'm going to call them, all the way around, just people passing by, or lots and lots of
just
mums.
Just watching, yeah.
Mums. Talking just, you know, lots and lots of women on the side who obviously can't be associated because maybe they got professional jobs or something or whatever else, but were definitely interested.
Mm.
That was the lay of the land.
Good for them. Joe Rogan's a nobody, isn't he? Joe Rogan's nobody particularly important. That was the narrative that was put out by
who's
the media.
Heard of Joe Rogan?
Yeah, who's heard of this guy? When he accepted the contract for $100 million with Spotify, as Michael Malice points out, look, they were all pushing this narrative. He's losing relevance since the Spotify move. Who cares? And to be honest with you, like, you know, maybe. Who knows? I don't use Spotify, so I don't know. I haven't been following his podcast because it's on Spotify. It's fine. I see the clips on YouTube every now and again.
But even then, if you went from like 20 million to 10 million, that's still 10 million.
Yeah, I know. It's still massive. But anyway, so you may, of course, be aware of the tremendous controversy around this complete nobody that nobody cares about, because he interviewed some people who had questions about the official COVID narrative, and these people were obviously total nobodies. Dr. Malone, who's involved or is partially responsible for the invention of the vaccines, and another doctor of some sort who's
also prolific spreaders of misinformation.
They are.
Bound to say with a gun to my head.
The YouTube terms of service certainly tell us that we have to say that. And so the people who know nothing about anything and who used to be raging against the machine are now collecting their pensions and have been like, look, you've got to take our music off. It's us or Joe Rogan. And so this began with Neil Young, obviously, as we covered previously. But then you got other boomer musicians who came out and basically made the same demand. I mean, who the hell is Joni Mitchell?
That way you're looking at me.
Well, I know. That's the point. Like, if your generation, I'd have to ask my parents. Right. Dad, have you ever heard of Joni Mitchell? You know, like, I don't know who this person is, but apparently they're like, oh, well, they want their music withdrawn from Spotify just like Paul Young and Neil Young. And it's like, okay, but why does it...
Kind of get his name right
now.
Nobody knows who the hell he is.
Yeah. He made one song that I'm aware of. It was actually a terrible song, but anyway. But the point is, like, the BBC have covered this, like, in a segment, breathlessly. Now musician Joni Young wants her music pulled. Who cares? This is a Twitter spat over some American crap, BBC. You know, I don't care about this. But then you've got someone else, and, it, like, I'm going to try and pronounce his name because I've never heard of them. Nils Lofgren? Have you ever heard of this person? Solidarity with Neil Young, though.
I mean, I know I am not the best person to ask, but a big no.
I've never heard of these people. Yeah. I should have heard of these people, right? But listen to this. And this is just the programming of the MPC speaking through his mouth. A few days ago, my wife Amy and I became aware of Neil and Daryl Hannah standing with hundreds of healthcare professionals, scientists, doctors, and nurses in calling out Spotify for promoting lies and misinformation that are hurting and killing people.
Name them.
Joe Rogan is hurting and killing people, according to this guy. Okay, MPC. When these heroic women and men who've spent their lives healing and saving ours cry out for help, you don't turn your back on them for money and power. You stand and listen to them. How ironic is that? Given how the COVID narrative is clearly about money and power and not about COVID at this point. And isn't this such an unironic, like, I have got absolutely no questions for the multi-billion dollar corporation Pfizer or any of those people. No questions at all. But Joe Rogan, talking to a guy who's like, yeah, I think there may be special interests and this is mass formation psychosis. And I think you may be, you know, in the grip of something that's beyond your understanding. He's like, no, that guy's a bigot. He's killing people.
But even if you take those power dynamics out of it, the fact they're a billionaire company and all this, Joe Rogan might be very rich. 100 million from Spotify. Also, maybe brought off by, I don't know, big no mask, whoever they are. But the
big
the,
anti-vax.
But the point there is just you can see how these people engage with what they're talking about. Mm. And as mentioned previously, when Jordan Peterson went on there, the beautiful thing about Joe Rogan and why so many people like him is because he is sincerely curious.
Mm.
When he's engaging with whoever, he is sincerely curious to find out what they think, yeah, and where he might be wrong. And that's why he's so attractive as someone mm-hmm. to watch, regardless of whether or not he takes your side in an argument.
And
whereas...
Well, yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it, by
very
comparison,
uncurious.
Yeah. People literally saying you're not allowed to think or inquire about these things at all. So he says, you know, as I write this letter, we've now gotten the last 27 years of my music taken off Spotify. Okay, I don't know who you are. Don't care. There was a rumor that Barry Manilow was joining as well. And so Barry Manilow would be like, no. I didn't even know he's still alive. These are people from when my parents were young. Like, I can't believe that it seems to be a way for the boomers to essentially say, hey, we're not dead yet. Right? Anyway.
Please buy my songs.
So, yeah, Neil Young, as we covered previously, came out and had whined about this. And so Spotify pulled his music. But is it that this is where it stops, Neil? Now you've engaged in the purity spiral. Now that you've been like, actually, I am holier than thou, and it's me or Joe Rogan, pick. Is that where you want to be, really? Because you get the little, I can't swear, but the journalists at places like the Daily Beast saying, well, hang on a second, Mr. Young, aren't you a spreader of misinformation too?
That's beautiful.
Isn't it? Isn't it just? Listen to this. For his stance, Young is basking in praise as a principled musician, willing to sacrifice his own streaming revenue in the name of science. I'm sure he's got hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, in the name of science, technological progress, and public health. Raging for the machine.
I'm sorry, yeah, that's why I became a musician, not a scientist.
Yeah. This is the same Neil Young who, in 2015, released an entire album, The Monsanto Years, which wall to wall with songs from an anti-biotechnology point of view. So once, say only 7 years ago, Neil Young was slightly concerned about massive corporate conglomerates who control fundamental aspects of our society. And now, nothing to say. Joe Rogan, that person doing the inquiries, he's a problem. Right? Young's anti-GMO rhetoric helped fuel a narrative that made it easy to spread fear and distrust about COVID vaccines. Is that a causal relationship?
Hang on. His anti-GMO rhetoric meant that people didn't want to make genetically modified crops, which led to thousands of people probably starving to death.
That's one of their arguments.
But that means that this dude alone, with his rhetoric, has probably verifiably caused more deaths than Joe Rogan has.
Possibly. Neither of these people have caused deaths, let's be clear.
Sure, right. But if you're going to make this argument that you make an argument, someone believes it and does a stupid thing.
Yes, but let's be clear. Neither of these people have caused deaths. This is hysterical nonsense, as Dr. Malone will call it, mass formation psychosis, right? But this anti-GMO rhetoric helped fuel the narrative that made it easy to spread fear and distrust about COVID vaccines. Prove it. Prove that there is a causal connection between Neil Young and people not trusting the COVID vaccine narrative. You can't. There is no connection here, and they know it, right? But anyway, this Monsanto album doubled as activism, amplifying misinformation about GMOs to large mainstream audiences. I think they're overstating the case there a bit. But he was also invited on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert to talk about this. I didn't know that. Back when the left was mildly skeptical of corporate power, Neil Young was invited onto Colbert's panel. So you were against Monsanto. Well, yeah, I'm concerned that literally you're not allowed to plant their seeds. That's a violation.
Colbert said, "You're a science denier. I'm sorry, you need to leave."
No. He was. He said, "Have you got any scientific evidence showing that GMOs are safe?" And Young dismissed it out of hand, retorting, "That must be a Monsanto study that didn't notice the terrible diseases and all the things that are happening." I have no idea about any of this. But so this is very interesting. Very interesting how already, literally within days, the purity spiral is already snapping at his heels. Wait a minute. Don't you trust Monsanto? So why do you trust Monsanto? I trust Monsanto about as much as I trust Pfizer. I don't trust any of them. Why would you?
I bet within a week he's going to say sorry. I bet he's going to go back on it.
I hope so. I hope it continues. But anyway, so this all accumulated with the hashtag bye-bye Spotify trending on Twitter, and a bunch of really insufferable people just being like, there's vaccine disinformation. We're never told what the actual disinformation is.
It's never specific, is it?
No. I don't know what I watched the Malone podcast because like tens of millions of other people did. And I was like, okay, I don't know. It's his opinion. That's the opinion of people who literally can't stand to hear other opinions. I don't care. I'm not getting your goddamn vaccine. Anyway, you get people like this.
I love how your return essentially.org is just like, I don't know, but nah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, and I don't care. Like, so you see, it's like, and this has affected Spotify's market share and like, you know, their stocks. We can go to the next one. See Dr. Eric Ding, who's like, oh, that's it. Deleting Spotify because vaccine disinformation is not cool. And this is, of course, affecting their share price. Okay, don't care. For some reason, we had to hear from Harry and Meghan.
Sorry, we're going to have to do some kind of share activism again, like GameStop.
I mean, I've still got my stonks.
Is that going to become part of the culture war full time now? Just whenever something happens, we just buy their stock. Sorry.
That's make some money.
Not financial advice.
Yeah. Anyway, Harry and Meghan had to weigh in on this. Do you know why?
What, it's racism now?
No, because they have a podcast with Spotify for $18 million.
Well, no one watches it.
Of course.
And they want some publicity.
More that people like, why are you still on Spotify? And so they're like, well, we've continued to express our concerns to Spotify to ensure changes to its platform are made to help address this public health crisis. We look to Spotify to meet this moment and are committed to continuing our work together as it does. Yeah, so they're not abandoning their $18 million contract with Spotify over this. Really interesting how money binds people to these things, isn't it? Interestingly, right, they have only produced one podcast for Spotify.
Working hard.
Yeah, working really hard. And that was...
Stress on them.
That was in 2020. So it's been almost 2 years now.
Anita Sarkeesian levels of production.
Yes, it is. And the funny thing about this as well is that Spotify essentially had to take over the production of their own podcast. Go to the next one, John. They actually hired a number of in-house producers to deliver the deal after waiting more than a year for any material.
£18 million.
One podcast.
One episode.
I wish we could get that sort of money, I tell you. But apparently they're recruiting new staff to work in Harry and Meghan's Archwell Audio in Los Angeles for podcasts that feature the voices of high-profile women. Only got one episode.
Was Harry not speaking it?
I listened to a part of it and it's really crap. But anyway, the real problem with this. And this is what this is all about, is that this is something that the media cannot control. And that's the problem with it. And everyone can see that that's the problem with it. You know, they're never making any specific allegations. Like Joe Rogan, he's not saying like, oh, COVID doesn't exist or blah, 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 blah. He's not making any allegations like this. What it is he's just having a free-form conversation. And CNN don't get to diddle with it. Let's watch this next clip.
Kat, you wrote on Twitter about Spotify. You went viral for a comment about it yesterday. Tell us your point of view first about this Spotify mess, because it's really dominated the week.
Yeah, you know, what I think is interesting about the backlash against Spotify vis-a-vis Joe Rogan is that, you know, people are fundamentally angry about not being able to stop his audience from wanting news that is bad for them, you know, wanting something that's bad for them. So, you know, we're all haunted by the specter of this guy who's listening to Joe Rogan and internalizing this bad information and making bad choices as a result. But Rogan is like a weed that sprang up outside the mainstream media ecosystem, and he thrived there, and he has this huge audience. And that's what's really scary, that Spotify could kick him off tomorrow and it wouldn't make a dent. It wouldn't make a dent in his audience. People would still listen to him. And crucially, they still wouldn't trust more mainstream media sources. And I think that's what's really, really frightening to people.
Oliver, do you agree?
Isn't that mad?
That's a beautiful clip. Because you can see that she's a CNN writer.
Yeah.
As openly kind of saying, CNN is a propaganda factory and also we're crap. No one even watches us. We couldn't even force people to watch us if we tried.
It's more than that, though. It's like we want to be able to stop their audience from wanting news that is bad for them.
Yeah, harmful to them.
Exactly. So, like, no, we know what your true interests are. And we are annoyed that we don't have access to Rogan's audience in order to modify what his audience are thinking. This specter, this hypothetical person they've dreamt up in their head, who they have no idea about, they can't put a name on them, doesn't match any real person, but they've dreamt up a specter, and so now, on the basis of this paranoia, they have to hound Rogan until he bends the knee. That's what this is about, right? This is wild. The arrogance, the audacity of these people, it's just beyond, honestly beyond it. And then we're like, well, Spotify could kick him off tomorrow and it wouldn't make a dent. Yeah, on his audience. It'd destroy Spotify. That'd be terrible for them. But Joe Rogan will just be like, okay, well, I'll set up a website then.
You know? I'll just stream on Getter. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. I'll stream on Getter.
But it's also the point that, as I mentioned, the propaganda machine part, that she's openly saying that, yes, our entire outlet is about controlling the narrative.
Yes.
And therefore, we're not sincerely curious, whereas Joe Rogan is, and he will have a conversation with you. We won't. Yeah. We'll never have a conversation with you. We have a controlled understanding.
And more than that, we're annoyed that we can't get to Rogan's audience to censor them. And to censor the things they think.
They value a free discussion.
Exactly. We literally want to narrow the range of things they are able to think about. Like, what an evil thing that they're doing. But anyway, and so it's good. It's very heartening, really, that Joe Rogan is, of course, more popular than all of them combined, which is hilarious. Apparently, he gets 11 million per episode, viewers per episode, listeners per episode. And, of course, any of the mainstream pundits don't come anywhere close, and the ones that do are all Republicans. So, you know, CNN on suicide watch.
Ben Shapiro dabbing on CNN.
Yeah, good. But the point is, this is something that Spotify so far has been relatively firm on, because, of course, Joe Rogan is costing them a lot of money. But this is not going to last forever, and I think that eventually they will bending the knee, because they have already started making concessions when they didn't need to. They've added content warnings to things now.
Didn't have to.
They didn't have to do any of this. So they began by publishing their long-standing platform rules, because apparently they didn't have published rules before this, which I didn't know. And so they're working to add content advisory to any podcast episode that includes a discussion about COVID-19. And this the advisory will direct listeners to our dedicated COVID-19 hub, a resource that provides easy access to data-driven facts, blah, 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 blah. Scientists, academics, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. The managerial state has taken over. Got it. All right. We will also begin testing our ways to highlight our platform rules and our creators. Blah, blah, blah. Right. So you're going to start slowly but surely shrinking and coming in. No, you said this, you said that. Chipping away at people's conversations until eventually it's just the CNN narrative right at the end. And so eventually, Joe Rogan hadn't said anything about this as well.
Do you want to mention real quickly, because there's one thing in there that's really funny.
Go on.
Because they list, like, you know, it's very basic levels of rules, but they list that they're going to add content warnings to discussions about COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So it means Joe Rogan is getting like the 90s rapper treatment, where it's like, explicit language.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Be careful, mommy, don't buy this for the kids.
Yeah.
As if you're a child, as if you can't see what they're talking about COVID.
As if that made the thing itself uninteresting as well. Mm. Like, that was when I was a kid, man, the explicit label. Oh, great. This has got an explicit label. I remember thinking this. Like, anyway, so Joe Rogan put up a statement on Instagram, and it's like a 10-minute video, so I'll just give you a summary of it. But to be perfectly clear, this was a very reasonable and level-headed response to what is essentially a non-issue, but a massive whirlwind of drama that's been created on Twitter by a bunch of people who feel their relevance waning. And there's something about the security with which Rogan puts this across that's very reassuring. See, he knows that the force is with him and that they're desperately clawing at him just to grab anything that they can. But he gives concessions to them I don't think he needed to do, but he is much more moderate and temperate than I would have been about this. And he points out that, look, I'm not trying to, like, destroy you.
Don't even think about you.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You know, I don't think about you at all is basically his opinion, right? And so he explains that, look, he gets experts on who don't agree with the official narrative because he's curious. And he hates the term misinformation. And he points out in a very, very well done as well, saying that, look, we weren't allowed to say that vaccinated could spread COVID or the cloth mask was effective or that COVID may have come from a lab. But these are all mainstream talking points now. So what is misinformation changes, and it changes quickly.
It wasn't just, oh, this is silly. It was, that would get you banned.
Yeah, exactly.
And have any of those people who are banned been unbanned? Of course not.
Of course not. Even though they're now, of course, all right, or at least all on point with the mainstream narrative. And he says, look, I don't know if they're right. You know, I don't know that they're right. I'm just talking to these people. These what are essentially just like, you know, barroom conversations you would have with someone, Joe Rogan's having, and people are like, oh, that's cool. It's like, yeah, no, that's not cool, because millions of people are watching them BTFO on narratives. We can't have that. And so he apologizes to Neil Young and Joni Mitchell, saying, you know, I'm sorry they feel that way. I don't want that. I'm a fan of theirs. So, okay. But he says he's going to do his best to balance these controversial viewpoints with other people's perspectives so he can find a better point of view, which is hilarious, right? All of them are like, our narrative. Joe Rogan has a conversation. And they're like, no! And it's like, okay, I promise I'll balance out the two narratives, directly implying that nobody's paying attention to them. Nobody cares. Mm. And they're like, no, I will represent CNN's narrative on my podcast just so the public can hear it. Okay? You losers. You absolute losers. Like, this is so funny. It's such a demonstration of just the power of just one guy. Just doing a podcast, talking to some people who thinks are interesting. And then the entire cathedral shrieking and howling and joking, okay, I'll give you some representation. Amazing. I love the way it's going. But the thing is, eventually the howling will probably get so much, and so many of these little whiners will get together that eventually Spotify will probably have to do something. But I do not think this is the end of the controversy.
No. Nor will it actually hurt Joe Rogan, as the CNN editor said.
Well, it's certainly not hurting his popularity. So. No.
I love how you mentioned the fact it's such a dead medium.
Yeah.
Cable television, CNN.
Joe's position is, I will try and represent your perspective. Yeah. And you can see as well, the good thing about this as well is, can you scroll down in the comments there on that on the Instagram thing? So you see The Rock's posted there. And like, you know, you get to see all the celebrities who are like, actually, maybe Joe Rogan's right about having dialogue and discourse. It's good. Mm. Very, very good.
Did you see the point? I think it was Bill Maher had a section on his show where someone said, oh, I'm done with COVID. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, oh, finally, in the mainstream. And
Barry Weiss. Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Pool made the very good point. It was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because quite frankly, this whole ecosphere is dying and dead, and we're making the new cycle ourselves. People like Joe Rogan in a whole new way. And therefore, when you see the old media sort of catching up or clawing for relevancy,
yeah,
that's what that is.
Joe Rogan might give you a spot on his podcast one day.
Maybe. If you're nice. It's going to be the comments.
I love it. Honestly, I love it.
Hello?
Sorry, man.
For people listening, it was a guy who had work at the same time we were doing the Zoom call. So
sorry.
I don't know what you can do about that, frankly.
In this step, I am isolating all of the neutrals that are used on plug circuits and tying the other ones into the neutral bus on the panel. I am then taking the outer jackets from wires that I've stripped to write labels and stick them on the wires. That way, once the drywall is up, I'll be able to tell what wire is for what circuit for when I'm labeling the panel. The final step is making a cardboard warning label for liability reasons. This relatively simple panel only took me about 3.5 hours to tie in.
Danger life panel. How much does that net you as a period of work, I wonder? Because, I mean, we're sort of advertising at this point people to become electrical engineers, all this.
Good. Because then you'll be in a position to hold the Canadian government hostage as well.
Oh, God, could you imagine?
Well, just the workers of the world united.
No, but we spoke about the fact that all the truckers, it's like the coal miners and Soviet Union had huge power because they'd be like, oh, shoot us. Mm-hmm. Where's your coal going to come from? Yeah.
Yep.
So what do you want? And then the truckers can do that in the modern age. And they're like, oh, we'll make that all automated. What about all the cable workers?
Yeah.
Snip, snip. Oh, your fiber optic. Could you imagine all the cosmopolitan types without the internet?
I love the idea.
They're dead. There's no reason to live.
I can't even get on Twitter.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
Gents, I know you've opened up for an hour and a half on the last Friday of every month. Is there a possibility you could open up for an afternoon every quarter or so? Just so everybody can talk, because I know I've got a question for one or two people after the last one. Also, can you advertise when you lot are talking throughout the week? Because some people, I know I have, I've got a question for certain people.
No, is the answer, because we do the podcast at the same time every day throughout the week. So we can't do like an afternoon or something.
Yeah. I didn't know if he was talking about the gold Zoom calls or the premium one.
Think he's talking about the gold Zoom call.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. So sorry, we just can't do that. But send us a video question, I guess.
That's the medium for it.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Carl, unfortunately, the purpose of my statement about the modern monarchy being created in the United States was lost because of the time gap between what I said responding to what you said in the video from, I guess, now 3 days ago. But anyway, I'm never meant to imply that the English monarchy was absolute.
Sorry. It kind of sounded a bit like that because it was off the cuff. But the thing is, it's not the first time an American has said this to me. And it's like, oh, you don't understand. Like, there are so many Americans who don't understand. I'm not going to go into it.
I'm imagining you up late at night and, like, those conversations I had last time I was there, a bunch of idiots.
No, it's just every time. They're like, oh, we don't want one person owning everything. It's like, it's not North Korea.
No.
Like, anyway. But it's not you, it's just Americans, generally.
Let's go to the next one.
You're right, lads. So, last time we spoke was just before Christmas, and I was telling you I was moving house. Don't move house around Christmas, it's awful. But I just wanted to say that a lot of people say nowadays, you know, younger people can't afford to buy their own houses. But I'm just above minimum wage, you know, I put together with my girlfriend. During COVID, we weren't going out, so we were saving. It is attainable, you know, you just strive for it and you can achieve it. Also, those social knitting books, I will send them now settled into this house. Thank you.
We're going to have a PO box soon. So
I think we do now, don't we?
I don't know if it's actually set up yet.
Okay.
But Pete has been on the ball setting this up. And so once it's done, we'll let you know where you can send stuff that I'm going to make Callum open.
Please don't send me anthrax. Saddam.
So I came on a very interesting Zoom call. One thing in particular was about for Sophie, and since she is Danish and a lot, like how she revealed about all the security software that they were making a lot. And it really, really reminded me of that one South Park episode where they really did build a supercomputer that watched everything to track down trolls or whatever, and how it all just went to hell. South Park was once again right.
Yeah.
Mm.
Ching chong chili, whatever the song was. But that's why I was also very upset with the Swedish story, in which some Swedish tech nerds had figured out how to make a chip in their hand that could open their door.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were like, oh, this is awesome. It's like, as soon as the Chinese get a hold of that and apply it in Xinjiang, what do you think is going
to
happen?
I mean, to be honest with you, they can't be far from just developing their own.
Maybe.
Like, how difficult can it really be?
I know, like, all the facial recognition software and all that they use, they got from the West. So they literally sent guys over to check out all the stuff we had in various countries. And then we're just like, yeah, this is interesting. Yeah, how much? And then just took it all back, set it all up, and then said, all right, thanks for that. Bye, kicked you out.
Well.
We're going to use it on the Muslims now. Yeah.
Sorry.
But it's mainly Denmark, as Sophie was saying. So, no English guilt about that.
Let me tell you what other bad things the Danes have done.
Dane law.
Yeah.
Knull a day. Let's go to the next one.
What's up, losers eaters? I'm on the train. It was great meeting up with you guys, even though I didn't say much. And I wanted to kind of apologize because I felt like an arsehole leaving so early. But it was like 3:30 in the morning here, so I just... And I was tired, man. I had a long-ass day yesterday, and I just... I couldn't keep up. My concentration went... But, yeah, I can't wait to do it next time. Take care.
No worries.
All right. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
I always do appreciate the people who stay up super late as well. And speaking of them...
G'day, guys. I wanted to comment on your thoughts about how saying Christ is Son of God is magic. I don't think it is. I disagree. I do agree with the classification of magic as repeating something over and over and over again until everyone believes it. And when the church was saying Christ is Son of God, believe or you'll be heard, that was when it was magic. But when the printing press became invented and people could see what his philosophy was, he stopped becoming magic. What are your thoughts?
I don't follow. What's the difference between those two things? Because is it just the force you're saying makes it magic or not? Because we were arguing that it's more, what is it?
Yeah,
what's the term that the SJWs always use? Social something.
Or social construct.
No. Yeah, social construct.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, we all agree on a thing and then it just works.
Yeah, was it?
It doesn't have to be enforced or not.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them aren't enforced.
I'll have to have a think about it, I think.
Yeah. But I don't know why the force aspect would change anything. It was more just about the fact that if all the humans believe a thing, they can make it become part of their society. And that's weird, because why would you not just rebel or whatever? And people don't, because they recognize the value of it or whatever else.
It's partly responsible for the order of the civilization. Why would you rebel against it? Hmm. Anyway.
Let's go to the next one.
Canada's constitution is working just fine. The issue is the charter is a bill of rights. The saving grace is that the founder intended it to be based on English common law and the American Bill of Restrictions. The U.S. Constitution is based off of a system created by humans. The Declaration of Independence recognizes rights and, in order to be timeless, references God. Instead of democracy, make Canada parliamentary republican again.
What were you laughing at?
Because the fact that the creator of the Constitution is still alive, you just call them up and be like, so what did you mean? Because you get that with the Americans, like, what did the Founding Fathers really mean?
Hmm.
And there's the obviously correct answer, which is the like Ben Shapiro side of the law department that's just like, well, what they meant.
Yeah, and what then they said,
The left-wing version was like, well, in a modern framework. It's like, this is how you get the stupid thing where it's like the Second Amendment was only made for muskets.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's so dumb on the face of it. It's amazing that people actually make that argument.
Shall not be infringed.
Yeah.
It's perfectly clear.
It's mad. But yeah, I was just laughing at the fact that you could just be like, oi, boy, what do you mean? But thanks. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, guys. So, want to show you a little adventure in parenting. See these stains up on the wall? Kind of get the lamp taken apart. My 6-year-old daughter decided she wanted to do a science experiment. And so she went upstairs to the bathroom, plugged the sink, turned it on, and then forgot about her experiment and flooded the house.
For science.
I do have a question why you have those prisoner plates, though.
A lot of the time it's because you'll put, like, I mean, admittedly, having it as metal is a bit strange.
Well,
I mean,
it looks plastic like from a prison, right?
Yeah. But, like, you know, you have, like, a sandwich, yogurt, apple, you know, just different bits.
When you're at home, just get a plate.
Well, sometimes, like, you know, things mixing. Like the meal and then pudding.
Food mixing, not in the South.
No, sometimes. I mean, it depends. Like, you've got, like, peas or something, right? You want, like, a bowl, essentially, to keep them on. But then you've got a sandwich on the same plate.
Which is different size of the plate.
Yeah. It's just convenient.
Maybe I'll buy one, give it a go.
Usually for children.
I just don't want the food mixing, just see if it makes it better. Or distinct flavours, maybe.
Maybe, I like mixing my food, so.
Let's go next one.
Let me put it this way, Mr. Amos. The 9000 series is the most reliable computer ever made. No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
I was direct messaging Joshua in the Gold Tier call, and he mentioned his Ohio accent being American neutral. I was reminded of the blend that Kubrick used to create the voice of HAL 9000 in 2001 A Space Odyssey, which features possibly the most menacing portrayal of an AI and the most startling jump cut ever.
That is a startling jump cut.
Yeah. This is a good point about how do you make a neutral American accent as well. I do prefer the British solution, or at least at the time with the BBC. Mm-hmm. They just decided, nope. Queen's English back in the day, and that was the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of complaints, of course, about all regional accents being left out. But we can't understand each other.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as someone who, you know, Southwest accents or whatever wouldn't have been represented either. But none of us can understand each other. My mum had to work at a call centre once where if there was anyone from Manchester or the North, all of those calls would go to her. She was the only one who could understand Northern.
Any Americans watching who don't know what we're talking about, Google the Geordie accent.
I mean...
I can't understand a word they're saying.
I'm still going to say Newcastle was the best place I went to and felt friendly. Like,
oh, I bet it was really friendly.
But
these friendly foreigners.
I walked into a pub and we were getting a drink and we looked over and this guy was shouting at us. And he's next to a guy. They're all looking at us. And it was just like I was in Saudi Arabia or something. I didn't understand a bloody word. He shouted to us, sorry? And he did it again. What? I think it was the fourth time. We just went over and just were like, oh, yeah. We just pretended.
Could you write it down for me?
It ridiculous.
I know.
So, yeah, Geordie accents. Look those up.
Solution for overpopulation. Empower women. Oh, God.
A good woman keeps quiet and protects the home. Some image there. There's actually, I think I told you before the story, but I'll tell it again, which is in the North Korean books I've read, there's one point where a guy defects. He ends up in a South Korean intelligence safe house in China, and he has a North Korean wife, the South Korean guy, and she comes over, gives him some food, and then sits down in the corner on her
own. You have told me this,
eating the rice.
Yeah.
And they're like, come over, eat with us. She's like, no.
Oh, God. Okay, go on.
Now, this is the guy who is the reason I wanted to make the series, Kirishima. Now, Kirishima's entire character is about wanting to be manly. Now, what does he consider manly? Well, not running from a fight, having trust in your community, being chivalrous and protecting others. With every single show in the West portraying manliness as something toxic or regrettable, Kirishima shows it's something you can aspire to, something admirable. My Hero Academia, the daddest anime.
It's addressed to years.
I know. Moving on before right. I kill myself.
Buddy D and Little Joan with a political take. My worry here, I hear what you're saying about Trump, and I love Florida Man, but I worry that he's not 100% ready for the national stage yet. The thing with Trump is he'd get attacked, and then he'd attack back, and he had this way to manipulate the media. I don't know if DeSantis has that skill yet. He's more reasonable, and therefore my worry is the media will just shut him out.
Yeah, Trump did know how the media responded to everything. And like watching Trump like get all the free media coverage in a way that promotes his message was genuinely amazing. Like, and it's hard to believe it was like rationally thought out for Trump as well. Like I really thought that Trump was just running on instinct with a lot of stuff. It was very clever.
The Muslim ban speech, for example.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that that was thought out, I was just like, huh?
And just the Mexicans. Some, I assume, are good people. It's like...
To be fair, that was the founding speech.
I know. It's such a good speech. Such a good angle. Like, you know, because he's saying, you know, illegal immigrants. Yeah, are about, and they're like, oh, that's Mexicans. Like, No, but now you're, you know. But, anyway.
But the meme magic is apparent and immediate.
Yes. So yeah, Trump definitely had an eye for it.
Yeah.
So anyway, Bob says, noisy but mostly tranquil protests about what's happening in Canada. Alpha of the Beta says, the trucker convoy has been officially smeared as racist, misogynist, terrorists, and spies. Black, white supremacists, Sikh Russian agents, native Canadian misogynists, blue-collar terrorists united together. So progressive. This is multiculturalism. This is the diversity they were asking for. Baron von Warhawk says, it seems the Canadians have finally found their balls and not a moment too soon. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be reading about how brown-faced Trudeau has been tarred with maple syrup and covered in goose feathers. Well, that's the thing. Like, how is Trudeau's blackface just something no one cares about?
No, it just disappears.
How many times have you done blackface, Trudeau? Oh, I can't count. What? Just, anyway.
I do love the goose thing, though, because...
Yes.
There's some Canadian geese in Reading I used to feed because a whole bunch of that, and the lovely animals. But then the goose game meme, where I've seen you posting something, you know, the goose game, and you can like spam the button and it'll just go like, wah, 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 and I'm just having that playing in the background whenever I'm hearing these horns.
Goose game?
You don't know goose game?
No.
Okay. You've been posting some of the memes. I'll send you the game because it's freaking hilarious. Great game. It's
probably memes about honking. Paul says the Freedom Convoy needs to morph into a movement to take down all wokeism and Great Reset and install a real constitution. I don't know much about the Canadian constitution, but I don't think it's going to do that, to be honest. It would be nice if it did, though. Chris says, the truck convoy proves what I was shouting at BLM people last year and a half ago. The revolution will not be televised. Banks and businesses don't sponsor those they are oppressing. That's a great point. That's a great line. Banks and businesses don't sponsor those they are oppressing. Free Will says, protest used to be a legitimate part of Western democracies. Now anyone who protests against the fascist globalist establishment and their lackeys is a terrorist, whether it be Joe Rogan, Lord Voldemort, Farage, Jordan Peterson, Canadian truckers or whoever, or whatever political tradition they came from. I was watching Adam and Sitch's podcast yesterday, and this is a great point, right? Because like the conversation between Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson he had the other day. There's a lot to talk about this. Oh my God, how could he get these Nazis on, blah, blah, blah. And Sitch was like, look, they've got this Trump-shaped hole in their heart and they're desperately trying to make anyone fit it. Is Joe Rogan? No, he's very reasonable. Is it Jordan Peterson? No, he's very reasonable. They just need Trump back.
And that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. Grant says, from a Canadian, fun facts about a fringe minority. The $8.5 million raised by the truckers is more than the LPC, which is the government, raised during the last election. Vote truckers. That's what I'm saying. If you can raise more money for politics than the government can, who's the fringe? There are more fireworks over the weekend than there were during Canada Day.
To be honest, you occasionally see in multi-party democracies parties that are like the Farmers Party or something. Mm. I mean, rebranding yourself, I mean, even if just unofficially, the Truckers Party.
Buck Swashler says, 50,000 English-speaking truck of peace drivers and nobody died. Christian says, it looks like the truckers are greeted as soldiers who are fighting for the nation's freedom from tyranny. Yeah, that's a great way of hearing it. It wasn't that wholesome. You know, just like, and I saw loads of these videos. I only got a few because of time constraints. But I saw loads of them where it's just obviously, you know, tens of thousands of people going out to wave them as they go by. That's so lovely.
Jack's responsible truck owners.
Yeah. Well, they're doing the right thing. Jack says, Trudeau should be grateful that these terrorists, quote unquote, entering the country are simply just honking and not driving their vehicles in at speed into crowds of people. Godspeed to these truckers.
You know what stops a bad guy with a truck? A good guy with a truck.
wrong kind of guy, I think you're talking about there. The Minicus Monica says, I live in a city of 200,000 and we get weekly protests of thousands of people against tyranny. The same is happening in dozens of cities around the country, yet we are the so-called fringe minority of extremists. The narrative can only hold up for so long. Yeah, and at the end of the day, if you shut down the country, screw the narrative. George says, I honestly didn't expect to see any resistance in Canada, considering how many voted for Trudeau and still vote for Trudeau. As for the trucker heroes, the honking will continue until morale improves. Yeah, I love it. Love this meme.
Where's that reference from?
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
Yeah, where, I think the original that from?
Phrase. Probably in the Soviet Union.
Okay.
But I don't know.
It's been stuck in my head, but I can't find the original, you know, piece of media or whatever it was. Mm.
I think it's like an old army saying or something like that. Yeah. Right, Danny says, the work Romy Tomlinson has done is incredible. How can all of these young girls have been failed by the very people who were supposed to protect them? 40 years ago, they knew about this. And for 40 years, so many police officers did absolutely nothing. Well, hang on a second. It's not they did absolutely nothing. They took brown envelopes full of mysterious paper in exchange for doing nothing.
Well, worse, the guy had charges against him and they all...
No, and they, yeah. The police are an absolute joke. I'm just doing my job. See how far they're willing to go whilst hiding behind that excuse. Tyler says, we are talking about child rapists. Why are you throwing refugees into the crossfire? Are you calling refugees child rapists, or are you cynically using them as a shield? Yeah, I mean, like, if I were a refugee, I'd be like, whoa, what the hell have I done?
I've not been here that long. Yeah. I can't be involved in a historic group.
Oh, look at this Britain with its pre-crime, you know. How do you know that I was going to do that?
I only live in Wigan.
Jesse says, communists stand against anti-molesters. Gotcha. Yeah. If you're against molesting children, the communists will call you a racist.
The thing is with Robinson's demonstrations as well, as a character, you know, viewing it from above, he's always been, let's say, in the last... like 10 odd years, very focused on Islam, right?
Yes.
And then it's slowly kind of more from where stuff, I mean, it's not, you know, dropped, of course, but he focused on freedom a lot. And then the most recent stuff about grooming is always focused on the corruption aspect. It's not the crime itself or the unique aspect that these rapists were motivated by religion, but so much the cover-up is always worse.
Yes.
And the cover-up aspect being the primary thing here, about the police taking money to cover it up.
Yeah.
So the accusations of racism and racialness and all that, it just declines and declines and declines.
Well, it's just so obviously not the case.
Yeah, but I think even to, you know, say a normie who's not really paying attention, in the olden days it would have been easy to say, oh, he hates Muslims or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, but he's not saying anything like that now.
When you're just talking about police corruption, this is racism.
The police took money, what?
The police are a race?
Yeah.
Blue lives?
Yeah. Stop being racist against the police. Also, defund the police. Free Will says, could the Chelsea headhunters have been encouraged to turn up to discredit the event as a false flag? No, they're just retards.
Yeah, I think they're obviously just retards.
Yeah, Magician of Swedistan says, on the topic of Romy Tomlinson, the other day we discussed in class how Islamophobia is outlawed under the hate crime bill and therefore wrong. What constitutes Islamophobia is essentially any kind of critique of Islam. My history teacher then proceeded to explain there's a difference between anti-Semitism and Israel critique. Yes, she's a Muslim. What can I do to introduce nuance to the classroom? I don't think there's anything you can do.
I mean, the mirror image has got to be it. I mean, we don't care about the debate, but just can you have criticisms of Palestine and Islamic jihad that aren't Islamophobic?
I mean, that's the question, isn't it? That's the question. Well, what could I critique Islam on that isn't Islamophobic?
How about beheading me for being gay or an atheist or anything else?
That's not even Islam.
That's not real
Islam. Yeah. Oh. So I'm not even critiquing Islam. So when she slices out that convenient domain of things Muslims do that have got nothing to do with Islam, ask her what's in the domain that is to do with Islam that you're allowed to critique.
Is Muhammad being covered in cum stains to do with Islam? It's his cum.
I mean, it's his child bride.
Yeah.
I don't know.
For people who don't know what we're referencing, check out, what was it?
Acts 17 Apologetics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hilarious. Russ says, watched the Telford documentary when Tommy put it out with my partner after watching Three Girls series. Honestly, neither of us had dry eyes after seeing it. The level of contempt, indifference, and vileness shown to these abused women must not go unpunished. I hope Tommy is able to swing the spotlight back onto these vile nonces and their dirty friends in high places. I haven't seen it yet. So.
I mean, Telford, the reason there's a focus there, and you may have heard of Rotherham and all that.
Well, that's where one of the things took place, right?
It's not just where one of the grooming gangs took place because they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Telford is where quite a lot of people ended up dead.
Oh.
So there was one groomer who had sex with a child, got her pregnant. She had the child around her house. He came around, set fire to the house, and the mother threw the baby out the window, Tasman, and then the house burnt down with her mum, and I think it was a couple of other members of her family or something. So he got sentenced for the triple murder.
Yeah.
The child survived. She's still got a burn mark on here. So she's like 17 or something now and grown up. And he was either released or about to be released. So he was never charged with the grooming, even though she was obviously underage. He was 20-something, so you're a nonce already. We're done with that.
But you know why, though, don't you? Because under the Blair administration, they said this is part of their culture and the girls are making an informed decision.
Bollocks.
It's a lifestyle choice.
Obvious bollocks.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
And it's... Yeah, come on, we've been over this.
It's just evil.
But... You've got those are dead. There's two other girls who were involved in grooming who just ended up dead. And it's just so,
yeah. Jimbo says, it's kind of annoying that Rogan released a statement about trying to do better. Blood in the water for the censorship types never apologize. There is, and I agree with you. I mean, if it was me, obviously, that wouldn't have been my response. But there is a wisdom in Joe Rogan putting out a very tepid, moderate response. And I have to say, right, with literally millions of people and tens of thousands of verified checkmarks, all baying for your blood, and just article after article, everyone in the world appears to be talking about you, for Joe to come out and be like, well, I wasn't trying to offend you. I was just having an interesting conversation. I'm sorry. I'll try and do better.
I'll try and represent your views.
I'll try and give some, give some credence to your fringe theory, CNN, right? Which is literally what he's saying. Right. For him to come out and give a very, very calm and very reasonable statement must have been bloody infuriating. Like, because they would have loved it if he was like, they would have.
If he just went, F you, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been a rag to a bull. But he gave a very moderate statement that had an apology contained within it, but wasn't the purpose of it. And this was, I mean, it's not going to be the end of it, but it's definitely a strong move. I actually thought that Rogan's demeanor was very strong presence. Anyway, George says, the lefties on Facebook keep trying to claim that those who listen to Rogan are being misinformed, yet we aren't there to listen to Joe. That's a good point, actually. Joe is acting as a proxy of the common man. Yes, occasionally asking clumsy questions and receiving clear answers. Joe himself is not the source of the information, but as obvious to anyone who's watched it, it is literally the horse's mouth that the info comes from. Yeah, I mean, literally the inventors of these things. But that's a great point. You know, Joe Rogan is actually not the source of any of this information. He is, as I said, a proxy for just a regular person, which is why he's so much fun to listen to. He's just like, chimps. I completely agree with him on chimps as well. Chimps are terrifying.
They are.
Rip your face off. Okay. No, he's right. Anti-chimp action.
I didn't know he was massively into it. I thought he just occasionally mentioned them for a laugh.
Oh, well, I mean...
I don't watch enough.
But he's right about it.
Yeah. Just going to one of the random comments. Student History says, the trucker says... Look at me. I am PM now. If you want more from us, go to lowsears.com. Please do subscribe. That's how we pay for the show. And also gives you access to all the premium content. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.